Let's open up our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, if you will all stand, please. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commands, which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would open up our minds and our hearts to receive your word, that you would grant us grace and the fear of the Lord, that we might obey your words. Father, I pray that you would give me wisdom and also allow me to speak clearly as I ought to speak. O Lord, I am well aware that apart from your grace, I'll be nothing more than a seed demonstration of arrogance and flesh. So I pray, Lord, that you would protect your people from me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated. This morning we looked at the first verse. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments. I pointed out that commandment here is singular, while statutes and judgments are plural. And what the teacher is indicating here is that God has revealed His commandment, His entire body of legislation, His law, His will. And He has done that, how? Through statutes and judgments. And there is no need for us to go from state to state or from heaven to hell looking for a word from God. There is no need for us to get on the television and go from channel to channel to supposed Christian station to Christian station trying to discover what God's will is. There is no need for us to seek out angels or visions, for God has told us what He desires, and He has told us through His Word. And then it says here, it says, which the Lord your God commanded me. Three small words, all powerful. Lord, God, and commanded. Indicating that the word He has given us is an immutable word. It does not change. It is not like the word of men that we are to obey it, because it was given by the one who created us. It was given by the one who exercises absolute lordship over us. And it is a command, not a suggestion. That you might do them, he says. That it is not enough to hear the word of God and so deceive ourselves like the Pharisees. But we must hear the word of God and obey the word of God with fear and trembling. And then he says that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it. That as Israel was going over to possess a land, you and I are to seek out to possess all the promises of God with regard to godliness and Christ-likeness. We are to walk in this kingdom. We have been transferred to the kingdom of His dear Son, and we should seek to take as a possession every good promise of God. But we must also be careful, because in order to do that, we must hear the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and obey the Word of God. And not only is the Word of God necessary to inherit the promises, the Word of God is necessary to avoid all the pitfalls and the snares of the devil. For we are not unaware of his devices. So many people today, I talked to a man yesterday, so into this spiritual warfare stuff and speaking more about the devil and evil spirits than they do speak about the Spirit of God and Christ Himself. My dear friend, don't become an expert in the things of the devil. Become an expert in God's Word. And the devil will be defeated. Now we go on to verse 2. What are the purposes of these commandments? Why has He given us these commandments? So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God. What do we have here? We have the idea of a heritage interwoven in this passage. We in America were so consumed by the individual, by our own lives and nothing else. It's hard for us, unlike the people in the East, it's hard for us in the West to develop the idea of community. Of I am not an island to myself, but that I affect all those around me. That I come to the Lord as an individual, but also in the context of a community. And not just the community of this body gathered here, but the community of my family. I want you to think about that. It's very, very important. Now, I want to address the men primarily because primarily they are the ones to be addressed. You are not obeying God simply for yourself, sir. Primarily, you are obeying God, for the glory of God. We seek to obey God. Why? So that His name will not be blasphemed among the Gentiles because of our disobedience. We seek to obey God. Why? Because God's reputation is at stake among the unbelievers. It is said of the Jews that because of their profession of God and yet their unwillingness to live according to the commands, that the name of God was blasphemed because of them. You and I are to live in obedience primarily, not for any man, not even for self, but primarily for the glory of Almighty God. And secondly, sir, you are to live in obedience for the sake of your wife. Because I want you to know in the family, the wife comes even before your children. Let me give you an illustration that will be somewhat offensive to some of you. But if I and my wife and my two dear boys are in a boat that begins to sink, and I'm the only one who can swim, and I have to decide who I'm going to save. Biblically, I save my wife. And if my wife is the only one who can swim, biblically, she saves me. You say, oh, Brother Paul, no, there's nothing like a mother's love. That is unbiblical. The Bible says there's nothing like the Father's love. And most women love their children more than anything else because they're not receiving what they're supposed to be receiving from their husband. And vice versa. I wanted to state that because it is so very important and so easy for all of us to forget that we are living for our wives, sir, for their future glory. For their present day growth and sanctification. We are living for them. And then we are living for our children. To hand down a godly heritage. A godly heritage. Upon this earth. Now. I want to ask you a question. Why are you living? Are you living as a man of God in the context of your family with the chief purpose of bringing your wife and your children into the promises of God? That when you lie in the dust and you breathe no more, that there will be strong young men and strong young women still walking on this earth serving the Lord. Another thing I want to ask you is, what does it matter if we gain the whole world and lose our families? What does it matter if we're resting in Zion, playing on harps of glory, if our families are outside of Zion, suffering the misery of eternal death? You see, it's so hard for us to understand. We are so individualistic. We are always thinking of ourselves. We're always thinking of the individual. And we've got to start thinking about community. Now, is the purpose of your life to bring about a godly heritage, to leave a generation of those who fear the Lord? Or have you followed the ways of of Baal and Cain and so many false gods and false teachers. Some of you are so enslaved to materialism and to things that you are in bondage that you may never escape. You are so in debt because of your passion to have things that you have no freedom to serve the Lord. You have to work blindly like a madman just to stay afloat because you desire things that God does not desire for you. You have no time for your children, no time for your wives, no time for your husbands. And other people are raising your children. And it doesn't matter how godly those people are, it's not God's will. God gave you those children to raise. If I ever hear, and believe me, I have done this, if I ever hear any man tell me, well, I am just working like I am working because I have a desire to give my children the things I never had, it will be the closest I come to a fist fight in this church. God did not call you, sir, to give your children the things you never had. As a matter of fact, the things you did not have are probably, the fact that you did not have them probably is the reason you're saved today. It's the things we do not have in this world that leads to godliness. It's the multitude of things that we seek to gather around us that destroys our soul and sucks the life right out of it. That is true. So many times my wife and I, we have remarked, we have a house in Illinois, in the middle of a cornfield, our little house, our home on the prairie. And we really appreciate the house that the Lord has given us. But we're no more happy in that house than we were in a tent or in a rented room. That's just true. Because happiness does not lie in these things. And yet, you teach your children the lie that happiness is found in these things. Enough to enslave yourself to the ungodly. In order to have things, you will become a bondservant to the ungodly and not even have time for your wife and your children. Oh, my dear friend, what kind of heritage do you want to hand down? Now, look what it says here in our text. So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord. When was the last time you heard a man say, the greatest purpose in my life, outside of the personal responsibility to glorify the Lord, the greatest purpose in my life is to teach my children to have an awesome reverence for God Almighty. That's it. That's it. That's a priority. Before hearing those words, how many men would have been able to stand up and say, that's the priority of my life, to teach my sons and my daughters an awesome reverence for God? And yet that's the very reason for the commands. That's the very reason.